lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. We stand and lift our hands. We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, it is. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we say, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing.
A friend of mine, the God of angels.
every breath I take, exhale your praise. Holy fire, consume me, set me ablaze. Set me ablaze. Jesus, my sure foundation, yes you are. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, my rock of salvation. Let every breath I take, let every breath I take exhale your praise. Holy fire, consume me, set me ablaze. Set me ablaze. Jesus, my sure foundation. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, my rock of salvation. My rock of salvation. Yes, you are. My rock of salvation. favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children, the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children, the children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you, he's with you. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you, he's with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, you're weeping and rejoicing. He's for you, he's for you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He's for you, 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 he's for you.
Church, I pray that you would know the reality of what we just sang. He is ever with us, ever present. Our circumstances don't change that. Our thoughts, our emotions, our conditions don't change the fact that our God is with us. He walks with us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He holds us. He protects us. Lord, we just praise you and thank you this morning for that reality, that you are always ever present with each and every one of us, that you care for us, that you're concerned about us, that you genuinely are concerned about our well-being and our best and everything that this life has for us, you care about. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand that today. Help us to grab a hold of that today. Help us to live like that today. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for your blessings, for your presence, for your grace and mercy, for always being with us. Lord, for always seeing us through. Father, we give you all glory and honor today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we approach yet another spiritual gift on our journey, and this one seems to have all kinds of challenges wrapped around it, all kinds of questions and issues and just so many different things that get associated with this particular gift, including the fact that there are a ton of personal opinions about this particular gift, including whether or not it still is in existence or still functioning today. Spoiler alert, it is. It is still functioning today, just like any of the other spiritual gifts are. I will say, unfortunately, many, 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 many times this particular gift is used in false context, or it is used to manipulate and honestly discourage people more than encourage people. In fact, many a times it leads people down a false path to more destructive actions than it does to helpful actions, unfortunately. I will say, in general, people seem to get lost in the moment when it comes to this particular gift and when it comes to discernment of this particular gift. Many times people hold this gift against God if and when God doesn't do what the person wants them to do. They blame God. They hold it against God. They say it's God's fault. And they put him in that position. And then, unfortunately, it gets used as an excuse to turn our backs on Jesus. Far too often, that is the truth of it. Christians even struggle with this particular gift, to be honest with you. We struggle with how it is applied to people's lives, to each believer individually. And I would even say that we don't even often pray correctly when it comes to this particular gift. Let's read through our scripture selection this morning, and we'll continue on our journey. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, last week we talked through faith, which was a pretty good discussion, I thought, we had regarding faith last week. If you didn't listen to that one or you didn't hear that one, make sure you go back and listen and check that one out on our website. Many times, faith and our gift this week, which we should know by now is healing, many times they do go hand in hand. Many times they work and function together. And we're going to continue to see that. We've talked about that a few times, and we're going to continue to see it as we explore each of these gifts. Many times the spiritual gifts work in harmony with one another. When one gift is operating, many, many, many times, another gift can also be seen functioning at that same time. This really speaks to Paul's whole discussion about the body being many parts but one unit. We're all a part of one body, yet we're all individuals. The gifts are given to all of us as individuals, but we make up that one body. You know, when I move my arm, it's not just one thing that's moving. There's muscles, there's ligaments, there's tendons, there's bone, there's all kinds of things that are moving and functioning. And it's the same thing with the spiritual gifts. They function together. So why is today's gift, the one of healing, why is it such a topic for so many people, even believers? Why is it such an issue? Well, first of all, I alluded to this already, but first of all, there are many people who believe that the gift of healing stopped with the apostles. They believe that it is not functioning today as it did when these words were penned. Now, Jesus sent the apostles out. He told them to go pray, go heal, go minister to people. But there are some that feel that once the apostles died, so did the gift. And that's just not the case. In fact, we can go right to Scripture to look at what is told to us about healing. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. If any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, first and foremost, notice just that text right there. Who did James tell us to call in the case that we were sick? He said to call the elders of the church. James never said, go find Jesus' 12 apostles. James never said, go look for the men that Jesus spent all the time with teaching. He said, find the elders of the church and go talk to them. That's stating a history of people there. Not this elder, not this elder, not any elder in your church. Find them and ask them to pray for you. Now, don't misunderstand that. The elder's not the only person that can pray for you. Anybody can pray for you, all right? But James gives us some pretty specific direction about praying together as a church, and he involves the elders of the church in that. On top of that, if you look at this particular text, by the time James was given these words to pen, the apostles were already being martyred. They were already being slain for their belief in Jesus. Why would James tell you to only go to them that are being martyred to be prayed for your healing? It just doesn't make sense. All right? He's telling us to go to the elders, seek the elders, and pray. That is a pretty direct evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that the gift of healing is still very much functioning today as it was then. There is another warning, though, we need to heed here and understand here, because we have to know that this verse in James does not guarantee healing. All right? We're told to call on the elders, anoint, pray. But that doesn't mean that every time that happens, there is absolutely going to be healing. It's not some secret formula, all right? It's not some chant or some incantation that automatically works at every time for any reason. James is trying to help us to understand sickness occurs. When sickness occurs, talk to the elders. Let the church know. Anoint with oil. Pray, seek God, who is the healer of all people in all kinds of ways. But it does not, and James never himself says, I guarantee you'll be healed. Because that's just not the case. Healing can occur, but it may not. And that's one of those problems that we as believers, we as the church, have a huge problem understanding. We struggle with that one a lot. Always our hope, our faith, our trust always needs to be in our God. We need to believe, we need to trust Him, we need to put our faith in Him. But we also need to understand that He knows best. And we'll get to that more in just a minute. I also don't want to discount doctors. Doctors are great, all right? There are some that would tell you never go to a doctor, never see a doctor, always just, you know, go to church and believe. And that's not where we stand. That's not where I stand. Doctors have their place. God has given them wisdom. God has given them discernment and understanding. God uses them to help us. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with doctors. But I will tell you this. Doctors don't heal. God does. He may use the doctor. He may tell the doctor what medicine to give you or what surgery to perform or how to go about it. But God does the healing. Now, we can look at this in a lot of ways. And especially as believers, I think it's key that we understand this whole concept that healing doesn't occur for everybody at every time. Great, 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 great man of God. I did not know him personally. I really wish I would have, but Billy Graham was an incredible evangelist, right? I mean, Billy Graham, I mean, he was in the Word. He knew the Word. He was just an incredible man of God. Without knowing them, I can just about guarantee you that Billy prayed constantly for his wife, Ruth. But guess what? Ruth still died. She was still called home. She was not healed. She was not made well in an earthly sense. She was healed spiritually and made whole completely in that way. But she was not healed from her illness on this earth while Billy was praying for her. And I want us to really make sure we understand that whole idea that that healing does not occur 100% of the time. In fact, Scripture tells us, outside of the rapture, Scripture tells us that man will not live forever. That it's appointed unto man once to die. So unless Jesus comes back and calls us all home, you and I will face the end of our human existence. The end of our human lives. Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die. And we have to make sure we understand that. In fact, there is, again, this is 100% true as well. Just because people are healed doesn't mean they're not going to eventually die. Those that have been healed, those that have been miraculously cured, stage 4 cancer, worst condition you could ever think of, tragic auto accidents, whatever it is, those that have been healed and made well have still or will still die. Their mortal bodies will leave this earth. Okay, that is still going to happen, and we need to understand that. We have to learn to accept that God's perfect plan, God's perfect will, God's perfect existence for us individually may not always include healing. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. There's this little thing called sovereignty, God's sovereignty. We struggle with that as believers, but we need to work to understand it. Again, we still have to trust the Lord. We still have to believe in His healing ability. We still have to have our faith. But I'm going to go another step further and say, when healing does not occur, that doesn't mean you don't have enough faith. There are some that would say, well, you weren't healed. That means you don't have enough faith. That is wrong. That is just flat out wrong. Some people would say, well, you're still sick or you haven't been healed because there's some secret sin in your life you haven't confessed. Wrong. That's not how that works either. All right? That is not the way that God functions. So if someone starts talking to you about confessing whatever secret sin you have, just don't allow yourself to go down that road. If you have sin, deal with it, yes. But healing and secret sin are not like, again, some secret formula. Oh, I confessed absolutely everything. I should be well in 20 minutes. That's just not how that works. God also, if you know your scripture, God has every day of our lives numbered. And at some point, that number is going to reach its end. Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Somewhere in God's infinite day timer is a day with my name on it. And whether I've been healed, whether I'm sick, whether doesn't matter. At some point, my days come to an end. We have to allow ourselves to understand that thought and that concept in our life. You know, if we know the Lord as our personal Savior, we don't have to fear death. Amen. We don't have to fear dying. None of us wants to get sick. None of us wants to have pain. I understand that. But we don't have to fear death. Because while death may be the end here, it's the beginning of a more glorious life that we will never understand until we're there. So we don't have to fear that. There's another issue regarding healing that I think we need to just at least peek at a little bit, and that's the abundance of false teachers, false individuals when it comes to this idea of healing. I am not going to stand here and cast condemnation on anybody in particular. That's not my job. That's not what I am here to do. And I would encourage you, who I'm sure have a myriad of names flooding through your mind already, to stop it. It's not your job to condemn them or judge them either. God will deal with those who falsely use His name. God will deal with those who are doing wrong in His sight. We don't have to police that. We don't have to worry about that. What we do need to do is understand whether or not we should be listening to what they're saying. We should be praying about wisdom about regarding their words and what they're speaking. And, you know, half-truth is still a lie. So are we going to allow that to be poured into our lives and take control of us, or are we just going to turn away from it? Hint, you should turn away from it. All right? We don't have to worry about who they are or what they're doing or what our opinion is. Let God do what God's going to do. And if they're falsely using His name, trust me, He will take care of them. We need to focus on Scripture, the truth of Scripture, listening to Scripture, following Scripture, being obedient to Scripture. And as we've said before, we should be like the Bereans who divide everything that we hear and compare it to the Word of God and say, is it right or is it wrong? If it's wrong, we turn away. If it's right, we adhere and we move forward. That's our job. I will tell you, this is, in my opinion, part of what Paul was saying when he said, don't be ignorant regarding spiritual issues. Don't be foolish about this. Understand that there are people around you that are going to try to manipulate this or use it in ways that it shouldn't be used. So know the truth. Don't be ignorant about it. Let's move on and look at a couple of examples this morning in regards to biblical healing. This one is from Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When the people saw him walking and praising, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This, right here, handful of verses, this is the Holy Spirit gift of healing in action. Amen. That's it right there. It was not Peter asserting his power or authority. It was not his planned agenda or planned event. Peter was going to the temple to pray. That was his agenda. That was his plan. I am going to spend time at the temple in prayer. That's all that was on Peter's mind. God is the one who ordained the interaction between Peter and that beggar. And the Holy Spirit moved in Peter's life to speak the words that he spoke in the name of Jesus. Taking that man by the hand, picking him up, and watching him instantly healed and made well. That's the gift of healing functioning beautifully for us to see. If you continue reading in Acts chapter 3, after this man was healed, Peter immediately used the events that had just taken place and gotten everyone's attention to present the gospel of Jesus. So Peter didn't have any of this planned. God worked through him. The man was healed. They went into the temple. And Peter took that opportunity, again, by God's design, to share the gospel message with everyone who just saw what took place. Acts 3:12, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if with our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" He acknowledged he really had nothing to do with it, other than being the vessel that God used to bring healing to that individual. He goes on to preach the gospel, to be a witness of the message to all of them. Paul was another one. Paul was used to bring healing to others, to many people actually. But one account is found in Acts chapter 28. And there we read about him healing a chief official who had fever and dysentery. Paul prayed, he placed his hand on him, and healing instantly occurred. That act also brought many others out to seek Paul. Yes, they were looking for healing, but it was also a time for Paul to preach the message of Jesus to all the individuals who had just witnessed that healing take place. All of this is directly in fulfillment of Matthew 5:16. "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." God used Paul. God used Peter. They said, "It's not me, it's God who did it through me." They pointed back to the Father and glorified God because they were used by him. They were able to do that and give praise back to God. So when healing does occur, that should be our instant response. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Again, I'll go back to the doctors. When the doctor comes out of that OR and says to you, hey, everything went great, this is how it happened, everything's going to be good, our first response really shouldn't be, thank you, doc, it should be, praise God. I'm not saying don't thank the doctor, but praise the Lord. Because that's where the glory truly belongs. Man is not the one who should receive credit for it. God is. Let's consider this as well. When it comes to healing, it's not just about physical well-being. It's not just about our physical bodies. Healing can help in many ways. It can help the sad be comforted. It can help the emotionally unwell be made whole. Can make the spiritually attacked be strengthened. Healing is applicable in all of those situations. It's not just about the physical human body. That's our go-to, that's our first thought, that's the thing that jumps to our mind when we talk about healing. But it's every part of our being and our circumstances. And in fact, the most powerful healing has nothing to do with our physical makeup. It's the healing from sin. It's the separation from God. It's the ability to stand in the presence of our Lord for all eternity, knowing that we have been made whole. Knowing that we've been made whole and healed in the name of Jesus. The spiritual gift of healing tends to be a very spontaneous, or I will say miraculous, event. We don't really read scripture that talks about the planning of a healing service to bring people in to be healed. Now, healing occurred at all different times. Paul traveled all over the place, but it really wasn't for the purpose of healing the sick. That did happen. But the purpose in the traveling, the purpose in going, was to preach the gospel message. That was the purpose. The healing came along, yes, but the plan and the purpose was the gospel message. Miraculous healings take place often when this gift of healing is being used, and that's part of the reason it's categorized as one of those manifestation gifts that we talked about. Because it's something that happens, again, as Peter going to the temple, doing his own thing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit uses him to heal that paralytic. That's the kind of thing that we see when we talk about the gift of healing. And as I was preparing for today, the Lord even reminded me that healing, really, any kind of healing, physical, mental, emotional, whatever you want to look at, all of that healing is really a part of God's grace. Because in our sinful nature, we don't deserve any of it. As the sinful, wretched human beings, we were born into this world. We don't really deserve to be made well. We don't really deserve to be made whole. But God's grace allows us to receive that healing. God's grace allows us to be made better. It's God's amazing grace that is given to all of us undeserving people. Truly is a blessing. In addition to the couple of examples we already looked at this morning, of course, Jesus himself healed countless people throughout Scripture. I mean, if you read the New Testament, you almost can't not read about Jesus healing, right? I mean, he was always doing something somewhere. And I'm going to be honest, I purposely avoided those because too often we go, well, that was God. God did that. It was God. And the point was, I want us to see that God uses us to work through us. He worked through Peter. He worked through Paul. He brought about healing. He did the healing, but he brought it about through other people. We can see all kinds of healing that God did. And what I want us to really understand about that with Jesus doing the healing is that healing is a part of the gospel message. This is another reason why healing has not stopped. Healing is integral to the gospel message. It's part of that entire message. So if the gospel was preached then and healing was a part of it, when the gospel is preached now, healing is a part of it. That message doesn't change. That function of the Holy Spirit does not just automatically disappear or fade away because it's 2024. Healing is a part of the gospel message. The spiritual gift of healing, I mentioned this before, it's not a magic cure-all. It's something that the Holy Spirit chooses as He so sees fit, according to God's plan, which goes back to that idea of sovereignty that we need to wrap our heads around. Now, we don't have time to go through sovereignty in great detail this morning, but we have to allow that concept to enter into our heads, and we have got to understand it. Scripture tells us that God knows what is best for our lives. What's best for me, what's best for each of you, God knows what is best. That best may include being healed in some way. That best may not include being healed in some way. Outside of that cleansing from our eternal damnation, we all will receive that. Sometimes great things happen when God does not heal. One great example of that is an incredible woman named Johnny Erickson Tada. She had an unfortunate accident. She dove. She broke her neck. She's paralyzed. She spent the rest of her life in a wheelchair. But do you know how much good has happened from Johnny's accident? If you don't know her story, if you don't know her testimony, I would encourage you to read it. And I'll be very honest with you. It's got dark times. There was times she was very disappointed, very depressed, very upset. But God has done so much through that woman because of that incredible accident. He didn't pick her up out of that wheelchair. He didn't allow her muscles to have strength and control again. But He has used her to reach hundreds, dare I say, thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to see countless lives changed. All because she's had to deal with being a paralytic for, let's be honest, a handful of years compared to eternity. God did incredible, does still do incredible things through that ministry that all started with a broken neck. Don't allow the enemy to steal your joy. Don't allow the enemy to steal your hope just because God doesn't do things the way you want Him to do it. I am sure even today, if you were able to ask Johnny, she would say, yeah, I'd love it if the Lord healed me. I'd love it if I was able to stand up and walk away. I am absolutely convinced of that. But she's not going to let the enemy steal her joy if she continues to sit for the rest of her life. Her joy, her hope, her peace, her faith, it's all in Jesus. And she is allowing God to do whatever He wants to do through her life. That's an example we should live by. We shouldn't be asking God to do things according to our plan or our will. We should be asking God to do what He sees best for us. And that's where I said earlier, our prayer isn't always right. Yes, we want to pray for healing. There's nothing wrong with that. We trust that God can do the healing. Nothing wrong with that. But we also have to learn to pray, Lord, your will be done. Because that is what's best for us. I came across a little cartoon the other day, and I forgot to write it down. But the gist of it was, we've given up on praying to God because God's not doing what we give him direction to do. Let that sink in for a minute. Because many times that's how we pray. We pray and say, God, I want this. I want it this way in this time frame for this reason. Got it? Thanks. And we couldn't be much further off praying like that. The other thing I think it's important for us to remember is that God can still use you and I to bring healing to others even if we ourselves have not been healed. Again, Johnny Erickson Tata. All kinds of healing has come to all kinds of people through her. Just because God has not healed you in whatever your illness, sickness, spiritual, whatever your need is, just because God hasn't healed you doesn't mean he won't use you to be a vessel in bringing healing to someone else. So you cannot sit back and say, this scripture doesn't apply to me because I myself have not been healed. Doesn't work that way. You too could be walking into sanctuary one day, just planning on praising the Lord, and find someone standing out front of this building who needs a touch from God, and God could use you to bring healing to that person. Right then, right there, miraculously and instantaneously. You could be walking into Jewel and the same thing could happen. You could be walking into your office to sit down at the desk that you sit at 5 days a week for the last 20 years. And one day God will say, you're going to do this right now. And he will use you to bring healing into somebody's life. That's the gift of healing. That's the Holy Spirit in action. That's how God works in and through us, whether we have been healed or not. God can still use us to bring about a miraculous event. A miraculous healing into somebody's life. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you choose to use us. We are sinful creatures. We are broken. We are confused and lost many times. We don't always understand why we're going through what we're going through. But God, we know we can trust you. We know that as we obey, you work, you flow, you allow us to be a part of what you're doing here on this earth. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would be the vessels that you choose to use, the instruments that you choose to use, Lord, that we, Lord, would be ready and willing to be used by you for your glory and honor. And when you do use us, God, help us to give you the praise. Help us to point people back to you. Help us to share the gospel message and to encourage people in what just took place. Lord, help us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would be with us, that we might be vessels and an instrument used, Lord God, for healing, Lord, whether it be emotional, physical, Lord God, whatever it is, Jesus, spiritual, God, use us that we could be a blessing to those around us, regardless of our circumstances, Lord. Help us to be a